You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa!
The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
The boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to The Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Busy weekend of FA Cup fifth round action to get stuck into. Potential upsets and fairy tale stories, perhaps, with quarterfinal places up for grabs. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined, first of all, by Punt Podcast regular Derek McGovern. How are you, Derek?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to it. The batch of FA Cup matches, not.
You're not looking forward to it?
No, FA Cup. It's gone, isn't it? I mean, the League Cup's more important now than the FA Cup.
Oh,
I don't know how that happened.
What about the magic of the Cup?
Happened. I know. I used to love it. One day a year, you get live football. Everything stopped for the FA Cup. Used to kick off with it. You know, it's a knockout in the Saturday morning. But now those days have gone, to coin a Bucks Fizz lyric.
Bring back it's a knockout. That's what we're getting from that.
The FA Cup went downhill when they got rid of it. A cup final, it's a knockout. Hasn't been the same since.
This week's guest from the FWA is Stuart James from the Guardian. Are you well, Stuart?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm a romantic, FA Cup romantic. I wasn't, but I've recovered my sort of passion for the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Through Newport County more than anything else.
I was going to say, I hear that you have Newport roots. So how are you feeling ahead of this weekend? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
Excited, I think. I mean, it's an amazing game for the club. Incredible sort of journey. It's 30 years ago this month that Newport County went out of business, and it's been a long road back to get back into the Football League. Took them the sort of best part of 25 years, and it's just been a brilliant story for them. I was at the Leicester game when they played superbly, and obviously they thoroughly deserved to beat Middlesbrough as well. So I get what Derek's saying. I think over the last few years, it's obviously become less and less important to clubs, and it feels totally different to how I remember the FA Cup in the 80s growing up as a kid. But I do think that the Newport story is a really special one.
Yeah, there must be something in the water there, because they've beaten Leicester and Borough this year, as you mentioned. They beat Leeds last year, forced a replay against Spurs as well. They seem to love the FA Cup down there.
They do. I mean, I guess the thing you sort of question if you're a neutral and a Newport fan maybe is what they do in 15th place in League Two, when they can put on performances like that. But for whatever reason, when they're the underdogs, and I think playing at Rodney Parade helps too. You get 6,000 in there and it feels like probably 26,000 at some Premier League stadiums, and obviously the pitch is a big leveller too. So you're right, over the last two seasons they've had a brilliant time of it, and obviously that money makes such a difference to a club at Newport County's level.
We'll move on to the Newport game in a little while. It's 5:30 on Saturday afternoon, but we have FA Cup football to concentrate on Friday evening to start with. A 7:45pm kick-off at Loftus Road as QPR welcome Watford. QPR are 7-2, the draw is 5-2, Watford are 4-5. They've hit a real sticky patch, really, QPR. Only one win in their last seven games, and this could be tough against a Watford side that on their day are pretty good. They've only suffered defeat once in their last nine, and given where they are in the Premier League, Derek, Watford should be targeting a cup run, shouldn't they?
They should. I've been saying for years that teams in about 8th, 9th, 10th in the Premier League, they ain't going to muscle in on the top 6, ain't going to go down. They've got, I can't believe that they haven't given an FA Cup a good run. And finally, they'll be listening to me. Finally, Watford and Wolves are giving it a crack. And, Watford look nailed on here for me. I mean, QPR, Steve McLaren as a manager, I think they'd be doing better with McLaren's umbrella as a manager, because they're 18th in the Championship. I think they've let in about 100 goals in their last three matches. Everybody scores against QPR. And I just can't see how Watford won't win this one. They're in good form, as you say. They're one of those teams, Watford, as well. Like, even if they went to a let's just say they went to Newport in the FA Cup. They're not a team that's going to be muscled out of their stride, you know, by the cloggers in lower divisions. Watford can mix it as well. The only fine argument here is I expected to get at least evens for Watford here. Yeah, but we're around the 4-5 territory. Still enough for me. I'd still give that a go. I can't see any other result than a Watford win.
4-5 for Watford to win, then that's the way that Derek is leaning. What about yourself, Stuart? Who do you think comes out on top?
No, absolutely, totally agree with Derek. I mean, I'm really impressed with Watford, how they've sort of done over the last couple of years, because it's quite sort of an eclectic mix, their squad, and yet they seem to manage to pull everyone together. And I've seen QPR this season. I saw them down at Swansea earlier in the campaign. I thought they were desperately, desperately poor. I know they only lost 2-1 at Bristol City in the week, but I heard they were pretty dismal there as well. So I think it points, famous last words for me and Derek here. I think we're going strong on this, but I think it only points to one result here, at Watford away win.
Strong opinion from both of them then. And Watford, as Derek has mentioned in there as well, don't get bullied by teams from lower divisions. They've got a great record against sides from lower leagues in the FA Cup. They won 7 of their last 8 against teams from divisions below them. Do you think QPR can get on the score sheet here just as a way to kind of boost the price on Watford? It's 11-4 for them to win and both teams to score. And whilst QPR have been conceding a lot, Derek, they have scored in most games as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't put anybody off that. I mean, one thing sticks in my mind about this game. Did he lose 4-3 to Birmingham last weekend? I think it was Birmingham. And I was reading some of the quotes from some of the QPR players, and he was talking about the week ahead, the Bristol City on the Tuesday, and then the Watford on the Friday. And he was saying, well, you know, Tuesday's everything for us. You know, if we get any, Friday's just a mere bonus. And, when you're a punter, they're signals to punters. You know, it seems like it doesn't really matter a hill of beans this match to them. It should do. But maybe they're thinking more about their championship survival. They're 11 points from the drop zone. They should be okay, but in that division, you never know. So maybe they're right to be ultra-cautious.
So a strong opinion from both pundits then. They are leaning towards Watford in a big way. Let's move on to the Saturday action. 12:30 start at the Amex as Brighton take on Derby. Brighton 8-11 to win this one, 27-10 for the draw. Derby are 15-4. Brighton unbeaten in 5 meetings with Derby in all competitions. And Derby looking to reach the quarterfinals for the first time since 1999. They've been knocked out at this stage 4 times since. So this seems to be a bit of a stumbling block for them. What do you make of it first, Stuart? We'll come to you. I thought this was quite hard to call in some respects, because Brighton haven't really been in that good of form, and Derby pushing for playoffs in the Championship, this is a good way to keep the momentum going, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, Brighton have lost their way a little bit, haven't they? I think they've felt it. I think their only win in the last 7 was the extra time one at West Brom in the Cup, and that could have easily gone the other way that night. You sort of worry about Brighton. They've had such a terrific time under Chris Hughton, but of late, I mean, I'm looking at the league table, and they're not that far away from the relegation zone. I think it's only 3 points now. And, you know, ordinarily you'd sort of think, well, Brighton got to give the FA Cup a real go. And I do still to an extent, but they must be looking over their shoulder a little bit now. Derby, a good team. They'd have been disappointed in the week not to win at Ipswich, but Lampard's put together a really good young squad there with the help of the loan market. And, obviously there's no replays, are there, this weekend? So that sort of puts a different slant on it as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if Derby went and got a result at Brighton. I think they can play with a little bit of freedom there. The only thing, obviously, for Derby is the priority is trying to get into the playoffs and trying to win promotion. So I don't know what sort of team Lampard will pick. But, you know, they're a good side. And in Harry Wilson, they've got someone who's always capable of scoring goals.
Yeah, he's been a big part of Derby's season so far. And just go to you next, Derek, about the point that Stuart's just made there. It's one of them where you can never really predict what the manager's going to do in terms of lineups here. But, you know, if you're a team in Derby's position, I always feel it's better to go and try and win a game and keep that momentum going than trying to change it around. What do you make of it?
Well, that's what he's done. He did that in the League Cup, didn't he? He didn't play on the same sides in that, so I can't imagine him doing so in the FA Cup. I mean, they beat Man United in the League Cup, gave Chelsea a big scare as well. Both times I watched them, I thought they were really impressive. And I looked at the league table and thought, how aren't they, you know, right at the top of that championship? They're still in the mix with the playoffs, definitely. So, yeah, in answer to that question, I think they'll give it a real go. In answer to an earlier point you made, you know, it's a tough one to call. It might be when you look at it, and then you look at the odds and you think, well, if it's a tough one to call, they should be an awful lot closer in the betting than they are. Brighton are odds on, so I'll be, you know, almost 4-1. it's a no-brainer. You've got to go for Derby. They hadn't conceded a goal before that one. They let Ipswich switch in midweek in three matches. So they've let in one goal in four matches. Brighton, I mean, Stuart's right. They were looking safe. They were looking impressive. And now they're looking over their shoulders, 3 points above the drop zone. When you're a manager in the Premier League and you're 3 points above the drop zone, the FA Cup doesn't matter. We've seen it all, you know, all too often. They've only won one of the last seven at home, Brighton as well. I've seen Derby a few times, and even when they've developed the habit, even when they're not playing particularly well, they've developed the habit of winning games. Whereas Brighton have just developed the habit of not playing particularly well recently. So I think Derby are a fantastic bet here at 4-1. I don't believe for a second that they'll weaken down for this game.
At the prices, I agree with that as well. Brighton look terribly short at 8-11. 15-4 Derby could be a bit of value. And if you fancy being particularly ambitious, Harry Wilson got a positive mention there from Stuart. If he goes on to score and Derby win the game, you can have 19-2 for that. So if you fancy being a bit brave, that could be a way in. But both pundits are taking on Brighton there and going for Derby to get the result in the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. We have a game at 5:30 p.m. which will draw plenty of attention, I'm sure. If you're talking about the magic of the cup, you can't look past Newport against Manchester City. 33-1 for Newport to win. The draw is 14-1. Man City are 25-1 on. We'll come to you first, Stuart, because we know you've got Newport roots and we've already talked a little bit about it on the podcast. At 33-1, can a betting miracle and a football miracle come off at Rodney Parade?
Smiling to myself, laughing almost as you're saying those odds, because it feels ridiculous in what was obviously a two-horse race. But I mean, Michael Flynn said it would be the biggest FA Cup shock of all time, and there've obviously been some belters over the years, but I think he's probably right, given the huge disparity between the two teams. I just can't see. It would be a ridiculous result for Newport to do it, and I guess it's a throwaway bet in a way. Give it, you know, it's worth giving it a whirl. But realistically, I can't see that happening. Obviously, I said before about the pitch being a huge leveller. I interviewed Padraig Amond earlier in the week down there, who's scored in every round for Newport so far. That might be something worth looking at. And he takes penalties as well. He was saying to me that the pitch, and he said it with a straight face, isn't actually as bad as it looks. You know, clearly it's going to test City that in a way, because we all know they're not going to change the way they play at all. They'll still try and play out from the back at every opportunity. But I can't, you know, I'd love to think there will be a footballing miracle there, but I can't see anything other than a sort of a fairly routine, perhaps 2-3-0 City win, even with Guardiola rotating. They've obviously got so much class in that squad. So, yeah, hope I'm wrong, but I can only see a Man City win there, really.
Padraig Amond, by the way, is 15-4 to score any time if you think he can continue that run of scoring in every round. He's 18-1 to score first or last. It's one of those, isn't it, Derek, where if you've got your rose-tinted spectacles on and you're trying to think of the dreams of the FA Cup, you'd say 33-1 Newport, have a go. But if you're being realistic, it should be by how many Man City win, shouldn't it?
Yeah. At what point in the game City will declare, I think. you look at the handicaps and you wonder, when will City be odds against on the handicap market? Well, I thought it may be like -4, -5. Actually, -3, they become 23-20. I mean, that's a bet and a half, isn't it? And I know, you know, we hear about the pitch and that. But I mean, God, the only thing is Rodney Parade to play, by the way. He said he'd never seen him play when asked about Rodney Parade. It's the best outfit in Europe against the third best outfit in Wales. The best outfit in Wales, by the way, is a cagoule. We keep saying the pitch is a great leveller, but they've failed to win 7 of their 16 home games in the league, and that's against League 2 opposition. You know, this is playing the best team in Europe now. If you could play this on ice, and I'd still back City to score a bagful. So yeah, 23-20 -3. I can't see how that's not going to win. In fact, I'm going to put the bet on today, and I'm going to demand payout already before the match even kicks off. That's how sure I am.
Plenty of enhanced odds on this game as well. Man City to win by 5 or more goals. That was 13-5. That's now 3-1. Gabriel Jesus to score in both halves. That was 17-5. That's now 9-2. Riyad Mahrez to score first. 4-1 out to 6-1. And plenty more on there as well. Do check those out and check out the hashtag your odds as well, because there's some rather imaginative ones. For instance, Gabriel Jesus to score first. Riyad Mahrez to score. And Newport most cards. That could happen. That is 11-1. Because the thing with Manchester City is they could rest 7 or 8 players and bring in 7 or 8 more world-class players almost. It's ridiculous. When they can draft somebody like Mahrez in, or Foden, who's a young talent, or play Jesus instead of Aguero, the strength in depth is mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. Like, you haven't got anything on Riyad Mahrez to track back at any point in the game, have you?
33.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it? If you want that, you can tweet hashtag your odds to at William Hill, see if they'll price it up for you.
No one will back that.
No chance. No, it's a wasted bet, that one. Dear me. No, it's, like you said, Matt, the talent is not incredible. And yeah, they're going to put out probably a team of internationals come what may. I mean, I think the interesting thing about the sort of pitch and the surroundings, and obviously Derek's right, the League Two form's been all over the place. But one thing like Amon said to me in the week was he just senses teams don't fancy it there sometimes in the FA Cup. He's saying about the Middlesbrough lads, you couldn't believe how long it took them to come out for the warm-up. And they were kind of looking, you know, looking at the clock in the stadium thinking, are they going to come out of the changing rooms at some point? And he just got the feeling, and other people did at Newport, that Middlesbrough didn't fancy it, and that's how it looked that night. Now, I don't think that Man City will have that mentality. There probably wasn't the same incentive for Middlesbrough to go and win that game. I don't think for clubs like Middlesbrough it's a particularly joyous occasion to face Man City at home in the FA Cup. So it would be very different in that sense. And yeah, as we said, it's probably just a matter of how many City win by, surely.
Just going back to you for a second, Derek, you know, you mentioned the handicaps there. Just if I was playing, you know, trying to be cautious for the sake of being cautious, I suppose, with City having Champions League football to look at next week, is there a theory perhaps that once the game is done, they'll just stop and coast home?
They don't do that, City, though.
No, they don't.
You know, even in the Premier League, you think, you know, it was Mourinho managing them, and once he got to 2-0, that's it, game over. But City just keeps scoring for fun. And another thing you got to remember is it will weaken down. Well, I don't know if City can weaken down. So the players who come in will be, you know, they're not going to take the foot off the gas. They want to be playing regularly, so they're going to have a go. So, in fact, it'll probably work against Newport. They'll be playing the second stringers.
Have you got anything there, Matt? Would they beat Burton 9-0, wasn't it? Is there anything?
Yeah. That's right.
What sort of odds are you looking at for sort of that kind of crazy scoreline?
Well, we've got some your odds for City to win 7-0, 8-0 or 9-0. That's 14-1, bearing in mind the one 9-0 against Burton and the one 7-0. Earlier on in the FA Cup this season as well.
Yeah, that
might not be a bad shout at 14. Yeah. You've got three scorelines on your side there, but hopefully it doesn't turn into that, because, you know, this is the one game where you want a little bit of something to think about in terms of the romantic nature of the cup and stuff. So
totally.
Hopefully it doesn't get embarrassing, but should be entertaining either way. Both pundits going with City, though. No fairy tale, sadly, in that one, according to our two pundits, Derek and Stuart there. Let's move on to Sunday's action. 1 o'clock at Ashton Gate, Bristol City take on Wolves. And we've got two sides in pretty good form coming into this. Bristol City flying high. They've won 8 straight in all competitions, unbeaten in 15. They've already knocked out Premier League opposition in this year's competition as well, beating Huddersfield in round 3. Wolves obviously in good form themselves, 5 without defeat. Only Liverpool, City and Palace have taken points from them since the start of December. They have beaten Liverpool in the FA Cup as well. 17-5 for Bristol City. The draw 12-5, and Wolves are 17-20. I said to Derek earlier on, Stuart, about teams that are like 8th or 9th in the Premier League should have a cup run. That applies to Wolves here, doesn't it?
100%. 100%. And, you know, they obviously knocked Liverpool out earlier on in the competition, and they've got a really good team. Really good team. I mean, they were really capable of getting to the final. And, you know, the results they picked up this season against the top six in the Premier League, you know, show that they'd be capable of beating one of those if they ended up playing them later on in the competition. So, yeah, absolutely, this should be a real priority for them, this game. They can go into the game with a strong team and give it absolutely everything. That said, Bristol City on an amazing run. And obviously you talked about the wins there. They're unbeaten in 15 games going back to the end of November, which is an extraordinary record, and it's sort of propelled them from, you know, mid-table to the playoffs. I've got a sneaky feeling that Bristol City might do something in this game. That said, I do feel that Wolves, and obviously they dropped 2 points at home in the week against Newcastle, I do feel Wolves are a better side away from home than they are at home, where they often end up sort of being so deadly on the counter-attack. So it's a difficult one. I can sort of see both teams scoring in this one. Maybe something like a 2-1 Bristol City, but I do think there's a possibility of a shock here.
Okay, could be the shock of the FA Cup fifth round then. Bristol City 7-1 to win the game and both teams to score. What about yourself, Derek? Can you see Bristol City upsetting Wolves here?
Well, yeah, the more I look at it, the more I look at Bristol chasing 17-5, looks unmissable. I'm going to have to stop looking at it and start backing it. Because the form they're in is absolutely incredible. I think it's 9 wins on the spin. You said 8. I'm pretty sure it's 9 after the midweek game. And yeah, 15 unbeaten. They're absolutely playing fantastic. They'll probably be, you know, if you carry on that, they'll be in the Premier League next season. Wolves looked ordinary against Newcastle. I was really disappointed in them on was it Monday night, I think.
Yeah.
I've been disappointed in them whenever they played teams that, you know, they should beat. It's only when they're playing the bigger teams that they look great. I'm not getting worked up about that win over Liverpool in the FA Cup. Liverpool wanted to go out. If ever a team threw a game in that one, it was Liverpool. I can't back again. I can't back Wolves or odds on. They're not good enough. They're being priced up here like the Tottenham. And they're far from that. Bristol City have to be the better. There is a danger, of course, that Wolves, you should be going for the FA Cup, and Bristol City, given the form they're in the Championship, might think, nah, you know, we'll save all our keep our powder dry for the, you know, for the run to the playoffs. But when you get to this stage of the FA Cup, and you're a manager, and you might think that, but try getting that through to the players in the neighbourhood of the smell of Wembley in the nostrils. No, I'm not having it. And on these odds, you've got to back Bristol City.
That is an interesting point you make there, though, Derek, because obviously Bristol City were going like a train last season, if you remember, and then the Carabao Cup in a way ended up sort of derailing them a bit. They had an amazing run in that and obviously knocked out Man United and got to the semi-final and knocked out 3 or 4 Premier League clubs. And the feeling, I think, around the club at the time was that, or afterwards, that maybe, while that had been great fun and generated loads of excitement around the club, it kind of hadn't really helped their promotion push and they fell away. Now, we're obviously a couple of months further on this time. But I think, like you said, I don't see... It's almost a bit of a free hit for Bristol City on Sunday, really, because they are so going so well in the Championship. And I don't imagine Johnson sort of, you know, putting out a weakened team in that game. I think you just want to keep the momentum going, really. So, yeah, I got a sneaky feeling for Bristol City in that one.
Moving on to the second game that we're going to look at on Sunday, we've got Doncaster Rovers taking on Crystal Palace, a 4 o'clock kickoff at the Keep Moat. Could be a bit of club history for Doncaster because they have never made it to the FA Cup quarter-finals. It's their first appearance in round 5 since 1956, I think it is. So they've had a long wait to get this far, and they dreaming of setting club history. They haven't played each other all that much, of course. Palace do have a poor away record at Doncaster historically. Haven't won there in their last 6 visits, but I think it would be quite hard to see them not winning this time around, Derek, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, they're the championship side. Maybe they should be. They're a Premier League side playing against that League One side, and, you know, therefore they should go through, but, you know, never goes to that. It's never that easy in football betting. I've always had a golden rule of football betting, and that is never back a Roy Hodgson team or odds on. You won't often see a Roy Hodgson team or odds on for the simple reason it's managed by Roy Hodgson. But I just couldn't back Palace with these kind of odds. I mean, I watch Hodgson on the touchline now, and he spends the entire 90 minutes looking like a man trying his hardest to remember if he's taken his tablets. I just can't see how Palace can ever be galvanised by that man. Okay, Doncaster aware they deserve to be. But we've seen in the FA Cup over the years, the Cup is a great level. And very often in matches like this, it's a team that most wants to win, wins it. We've seen it with Newport over the years. I often say when we get to the FA Cup, I remember something Gary Redknapp said, that in games like this, when you're not talking about the top 6 side, you've got players of absolute golden quality who can do anything. Very often, there's not that much to choose between players at Doncaster and players at a club like Palace. The only reason players like Palace are in the Premier League is that they can turn it on consistently. The players at Doncaster might turn it on like a couple of times a season. Well, maybe this is the time to do it. And certainly on these odds, I just couldn't switch Palace odds on. 4-7, that's a terrible bet. I'm going to give Doncaster a go here. I really do, because I think it would mean an awful lot more to the players than it will to Palace.
9-2 for Doncaster, if you're also leaning that way. What do you make of it, Stuart?
Yeah, I'm just looking. I mean, Doncaster, I think they've only lost 1 out of the last 9. Quite a lot of goals in their games. You know, 6 of the last 7 matches both teams scored, and the other one, Doncaster, won 3-0. They're obviously having a good season in League One. I fancy Palace to do. I know they're all over the place, Palace. I mean, obviously, they go and win at Man City and capable of, you know, probably losing a game like this. But and they're only 3 points above the relegation zone, but for reasons I can't really explain, I don't think they'll get sucked into that. It feels like they're further away than the table suggests in my mind, just because they've got key individuals who can turn it on. whether those key individuals want to turn it on at Doncaster, I guess, is another thing. But I fancy Palace to go and win this one 2-0. I really do. I just don't see beyond that.
Signing with Palace to win 2-0 then. I want to mention one player in particular here for this game. If he plays, Wilfried Zaha, he should be the one player that can make a huge difference here. He's 29-20 to score any time when Palace are 4-7. Could I tempt either of you with that?
I don't know.
I've just got a feeling he won't play. He should do. If you're a Palace fan and he's not in the lineup, you're going to ask why, but managers don't seem to care about what the thoughts of the fans anymore. I've just got a sneaking suspicion that Zaha will be sidelined for this.
If you do fancy 2-0, by the way, I found the price on that at 6-1 if you think the same as Stuart there. So a bit of a contrasting opinion from the two pundits on this occasion. And we move on to Monday night's game now. 7:30 kickoff at Stamford Bridge. The tie of the round as Chelsea take on Manchester United. Chelsea could actually become the first team to eliminate Manchester United in 5 consecutive FA Cup meetings. And Chelsea bidding to reach the quarters for the 4th season in a row, have been to the final in the last 2 years. Manchester United, of course, had that great run of things under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer when he first came in, but that bubble was burst in inverted commas in midweek against PSG. Chelsea have had problems of their own, haven't they? 6-0 drubbing against Manchester City. They bounced back with a win in Europe in the Europa League in midweek, but it wasn't entirely convincing. Two teams that have had their ups and downs this season. It'll mean a lot to both clubs, won't it, Derek?
Yes, this is a massive game for both, given what's happened. I mean, Man United, the bubble was well and truly burst in midweek. I mean, they were given a lesson, I think, by PSG. But Chelsea, I mean, that game against City, I mean, there's an air of resignation at Stamford Bridge right now, and it's probably going to be Mauricio Sarri's if they lose this, because that's how important it is. He's been told he needs to buy a whole new team by certain fans. He's considering Barcelona. Because that performance against City the other week ago, it was just too bad to be true. They played on Thursday, as you say, and we all know that playing on Thursday and Sunday is not conducive to good football. But now that these days are Chelsea, it's a tough one to call this, because before what happened over the last week, I had an idea that this would be a bit of a non-event, because, you know, top four was everything for these two teams. But they can't afford to fanny around in this game now. The fans are going to be out for the blood of, well, not, they're not going to be out for the blood of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but if he wants to get the job full time, he needs a big result after what happened in midweek. And Sarri definitely needs a result because of what's been happening pretty much all season. I'd have to go for Man United, because I don't think there's much to choose between them. And United are, you know, a far more attractive price than, what, 11-10 is it, Chelsea? I've got to go for United, but this is probably the toughest of all the matches to call.
21-20 now, Chelsea, just a slight change in that price. 5-2 the draw, and Manchester United are 5-2. I get where you're coming from there with United, but in all competitions, they've only won two of their last 22 away games at Chelsea. They don't travel well to Stamford Bridge. I think this is really difficult to call, Stuart. What do you make of it?
No, I agree, and I'm not ignoring that record you just said there, but I'm kind of with Derek. I'm edging towards United. I know that it was, you know, the game in the week was a sort of chastening experience against PSG, but in a way, I look at it now and think, look, realistically, the only chance of United winning anything this season is the FA Cup, surely. I can't see them going and turning that PSG game round. And I don't know, I just feel that it's got a bad vibe about it at Chelsea at the moment. I even think, like, last night, some of Sarri's decisions are just weird, what he's doing with his, you know, his team selection, how he's handled some of the younger players like Hudson-Odoi and Ampadu as well. Those might not seem like big issues in why it's gone wrong, but I don't get the guy's thinking, really, and his whole approach to the job there. I fancy United. I just think they've got the potential, especially on the counter-attack, to go there and win this game. It is a very, very difficult one to call, particularly because I don't know what the sort of PSG result or more performance would have taken out of United. But I just think that they've... I just think they've got more about them at the minute. There's more togetherness under Solskjaer there than there is within that Chelsea squad under Sarri, which just feels like it's badly unravelling, really. So, yeah, I fancy United to win this, maybe 2-1.
United 5-2 then. For them to win 2-1 is 11-1, and it's hard, isn't it, to figure out what's going on under Sarri, because, you know, they had the old Sarri ball thing at the start of the season when they were playing really good, attractive, fast-paced football. We've seen him do that at clubs in the past as well. But then you get a sticky patch for Chelsea where suddenly N'Golo Kante, who's one of the best defensive midfielders in the world, is not playing there. He's playing more as an attacking midfielder. Jorginho can't find any kind of form. There's young players that probably should be given a go that aren't. And it's all kind of causing a bad taste in Chelsea fans' mouth, Derek.
Well, yeah, you know, when something is obvious, to the likes of me, for instance, when at Liverpool, we knew that we had two keepers there that just didn't cut the mustard, Mignolet and the other clown. And Klopp kept putting them in, and we're thinking, doesn't he see this? What is going on? How can he not see this? Well, obviously he did, but he just wanted to wait until the right man come along. But with Chelsea, you know, how can he not see? How can this manager not see that he's wasting a player like N'Golo Kante playing in the position? I mean, he's just useless in the position he is. And the other guy who's in a position he should be playing in, he's pretty useless too. It's just such an obvious change. And if I was Chelsea fan, I'd think, what is this man seeing? What is he seeing? And I've been looking what he's done in the past, the previous clubs and all, and I'm trying to work out how he's got this golden reputation. Because right now, if I was at Chelsea, I'd be doing a better job than him. Is he another one of these myths? I don't know. But certainly, he's lost the players, and no one would be back at Chelsea these days.
It's funny what you say there, Derek, because when I used to watch Forest as a kid, sometimes your manager has a blind faith in a player, and you just think, why does he keep getting in the team? And there was a guy at Forest in the 80s called Brian Rice like that. Who actually scored a hugely important FA Cup goal away at Arsenal once, but generally drove me absolutely bonkers. And you think, what you just said, why can the manager not see what all of us think? And crikey, that was a legend. Cluffy was in charge at the time, so who am I to question him? But the Kante thing to me feels absolutely ridiculous. It's like bloody-mindedness now, him carrying on playing in there. You know, the guy's a World Cup winner, an absolute class act in that role that he carved out for himself at sort of Leicester and then obviously under Conte at Chelsea. And I just cannot fathom what he is doing. I can't see Sarri being there beyond the end of the season. And the question probably more to the point is whether he lasts that long. So throw all that in the mix. And I just think United, even allowing for the poor result and performance of PSG in the week and the fact they're outplayed by them, Chelsea are nothing like as good as PSG. I think United could go to Stamford Bridge and win.
Manchester United, the overwhelming opinion there in that game. We do have enhanced odds on the website as well, which might attract a few people's interest. Marcus Rashford to score and Man United to win 9-2 out to 11-2. If he plays, that could be an interesting way in. Check out those. Check out the your odds as well. One player I want to mention here, which won't be that much of a popular opinion, I imagine, but Alexis Sanchez, if he plays, has been involved in 19 goals in 20 FA Cup appearances. That's scoring 10 and 9 assists. That's more than any other player since his first appearance in the competition. He needs form. Is this a good opportunity for Solskjaer to throw him in there and say, go and work your magic?
I'm not. Well, personally, I'm not. I can't get excited about Alexis Sanchez. I'm sorry. I just it drives me bonkers at times. I think he plays within himself. I guess the only thing is obviously the change of manager. Clearly, things weren't working out under Mourinho under him, and whether he feels a little bit liberated now and performs a bit more. But you know, if I put it this way, if I was a United fan, there's other people I'd want to see on the team sheet ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree. And also, he just looks like a man who's just happy to pick up his wages now. I mean, that's a terrible indictment of a footballer, and it might not be true, but that's all the evidence is screaming at that. Screaming at that case. And I don't think there's a United fan who would want him in the team, in the lineup for this match.
The thoughts of Derek and Stuart there then on the live games in the FA Cup this weekend. Before we get best bets from that pair and myself, let's get a best bet for the action in Europe. Alex Dunn providing his Euro nap.
If you're backing the Euro nap this week, you've got to get up early on Sunday morning, or just back it on Saturday night. That's probably what I'd do. 11 a.m. the kickoff time in Spain as Real Madrid hosts Girona, and it's a game guaranteed to be chock full of goals. Real Madrid score for fun, and after being effectively out of the title race not too long ago after that torrid start to the season, They're now in second and the nearest challengers to Barcelona. They still probably won't win the league, and they come here off the back of a 2-1 win against Ajax in the Champions League. That'll do them the world of good confidence-wise coming into this one. They are now unbeaten in 8 in all competitions, and they're going to make it 9 here because Girona have now lost 6 in a row. They're without a win since the start of December, but every time these two come up against each other, Girona at least manage to score. 5 head-to-heads since the end of 2017. The lowest scoreline was 2-1 to Girona. Real have won the others. There's a 6-3 in there, a 4-2 and a 4-1 as well. We're looking at Real and both teams to score, and the 2-11 on Real is boosted out to 7-5 if you give Girona a goal. Match result, both teams to score, Real Madrid 7-5. Job done.
Let's talk FA Cup best bets now then, shall we? We'll let you go first, Stuart. What's your strongest opinion on all of the FA Cup matches this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I go back to that Bristol City game. I've got a feeling that Bristol City will beat Wolves on Sunday. I just think there's a great chance of an upset there. And both teams scoring, I think 2-1. What have you got on 2-1 there, Mark? What would you get on that Bristol City 2-1 victory?
If you bear with me while I get the market up, I will tell you. Bristol City to win 2-1. Ah, what a time for the spinning circle of doom.
The bane of the love of your life, isn't it?
I just think that's... I think City, everything we've said about them with the tremendous form they're in, with home support behind them as well, I think there's a real chance that they could turn Wolves over.
12-1 the price.
Yeah.
Nice big price.
Fancy that.
Good. Derek, best bet for yourself?
Derby County. 15-4 to win. At Brighton, just far too big.
Yeah. I could agree with that as well. I had two on my shortlist. Derby was one of them, and Watford were the other. I'm just toying whether to go Watford at 4-5, which I think is probably fair enough, or Watford and both teams to score and try and be ambitious at 11-4. I'll be ambitious. Watford, both teams to score, 11-4 would be my best bet. I think they'll cope with QPR with the minimum of fuss. Really, they should do anyway. In that game. So that's the best bets in the FA Cup. All that's left to say is thank you very much, fellas. Been an absolute pleasure. Very best of luck and enjoy the FA Cup weekend.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Thank you to Stuart and Derek there then. That is the best bets for the FA Cup. Let's talk best bets in the Football League this weekend. Action in the Championship, League One and League Two. And as always, Pete Farries takes care of the Championship. Gav Pachulovsky will look after League One. And Al Ross will give us his best bet in League Two.
Hi, my name is Pete Farries. And for my Championship nap this week, I'm going to look towards Bolton against Norwich. Now, Norwich, of course, away from home, did lose 3-1 away at Preston in their last game on the road. That, of course, came on Wednesday night. But they've scored 3 past Ipswich, 3 past Leeds, 2 past the talented Sheffield United side, and 3 past Birmingham. So despite the fact that Bolton went to St Andrews midweek and got themselves a 1-0 win, it doesn't matter to me. Norwich at 4-6 at the time of recording looks very good. But with the way that Norwich on the whole are scoring goals, I think they could fire plenty, and a really good way of getting extra value here is on Norwich and 3 or more goals in the match at 13-10. They could get all 3 of those on their own, and for me, Bolton's little bit of an improvement midweek will not continue. So for me, it's simple. Norwich and 3 or more goals in the match at 13-10. Let's head over to Gav Pachulovsky and get his thoughts on League One.
There is a side in League One that I very rarely put up as my nap, and seeing as they are the best side in League One, I think it's about time we change that. So Luton Town are my play at 23-20 to win away at Fleetwood. Fleetwood have picked up form of late with 3 wins in 4, but Luton Town are looking for 6 consecutive League One victories, and boy are they scoring goals. 3 against Wickham, 3 against Shrewsbury, 3 against Portsmouth recently. They also hit 4 past Peterborough United, and they're looking for 7 wins in 10 on their travels. Although last time out, Luton lost 9-1 to Biggleswade Town in the Bedfordshire Senior Cup. I don't think that matters. They've got Collins scoring plenty of goals, Pearson scoring plenty of goals, and they are just quite simply the best side by quite a distance in League One at the moment. So therefore, I'm playing them. My nap is Luton Town to win away at Fleetwood. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
So everyone's looking at Paul Scholes at Oldham, wondering how he's going to get on, looking at their last two results, seeing they've been handy wins, lumping on for this weekend. But they're taking on Crewe, who are a very good outfit, much better than the last two opponents, so I'm suggesting value elsewhere instead. And that's with the side who are in the bottom six, yet in the top five in the form table. That is Cambridge United. Four wins in the last five, a defeat at Exeter, the only other. Four wins in the last five at home as well, leaders Lincoln, the only exception. And heading to the Abbey Stadium are Tranmere. 30 points from their first 17 games of the season, and they were looking good, but they've only got 15 points from the 14 games since. 11 of those have been garnered at home. I will save you the maths. That is the last seven away games, 4 points. And there will be goals in this one. Only bottom club Notts County have conceded more away from home than Tranmere. Only Forest Green and leaders Lincoln have scored more on their travels than Tranmere. So with Cambridge having scored 9 in the last 5 at home, this looks much better for overs on the goals than the 10 to 11 on offer. And 13 to 5 Cambridge and over 2.5 goals is great. But I'm napping the outright here because Cambridge at 6 to 4 is more than big enough.
Well, that just about does it then. Thank you to everybody who's been involved in the podcast there. Thank you very much to yourselves as well for listening in. Do check out those enhanced odds and all those other goodies on the William Hill website as well. Plenty of extra ways in to the matches this weekend. Should be another superb weekend of football. I hope you enjoy it and very best of luck with your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.